This audio production is brought to you by TheBestDayEver.com, David Wolf's premium longevity member site.
The content found on TheBestDayEver.com from David Wolf and New Horizon Health, Inc. is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as treatment cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be construed as such, because that would be illegal. Always work with a qualified health professional before making any changes to your diet, supplement use, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. Please understand that you assume all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.
Greetings, everybody. This is David Avocado Wolf, and I'm joined today by Tana Amon. She's affectionately known as the brain doctor's wife. She has a very famous husband, but she is also an amazing nutrition consultant, and she's been part of the wildly popular Daniel Plan, which has been featured in Everyday Health's Recipe Rehab, GNC Live Wellness Magazine, and on PBS, and also on Martha Stewart Radio. So let's just jump right into it. How are you doing, Tana?
I'm wonderful. How are you, David?
I'm having the best day ever over here. And
great.
We're going to be together, but just for everyone who's listening right now, we're going to be together for the Women's Wellness Conference, which is going to be Friday, February 15th through Sunday, February 17th, at the Orange County Hilton in Costa Mesa in 2013. So just coming up here shortly, and we'd love to have you there. Let's jump into some questions for Tana. She's really an incredible enthusiast for health. She's also extremely well-versed in the research on the brain and its relationship to food and behavior. So let's talk about that first. What is the relationship between food and our brain?
You know, actually, it's fairly extensive. There's a big food-mood connection, and it's really important when I'm coaching clients and teaching our classes to help them understand that. Because when you understand that, it can really make it simple to really eat a nutritious diet. And when you don't understand that, you will naturally, biologically, intuitively crave certain foods that you know will make you feel better, but they're not necessarily good for you. So, for example, you know, certain foods boost serotonin, carbohydrates. But if you're reaching for the wrong carbohydrates, it might make you feel better as far as boosting serotonin, but it can cause diabetes. And if you understand how to manipulate that in a positive way, it can just have tremendous benefits to your health. And same thing with dopamine and some of the other neurotransmitters.
Let's talk about a little bit about food and not only how we feel, but what's being learned about epigenetics and the way we express our genetics. Because in the immediate term, I think you're right on. I think we've got to upgrade our operating system and take the right kind of carbohydrates that don't lead us to diabetes down the road. And really upgrade quality-wise. But then there is this long-term picture of the way we express our genetics. Can you comment on that a little bit, food and genetics?
Oh, yes. Actually, there's a field called nutrigenomics, which falls under epigenetics. I find it completely fascinating. It's what my new book is about. And it basically says that the food you eat, the drugs and supplements you take, talk to your genes every day. So that's really good news for some of us, and it's really bad news for other people who don't sort of get the message. In other words, the food you eat is either turning on, health-promoting genes and turning off disease-causing genes, or vice versa. So, and it does this on a daily basis. And it's not just you. It actually affects generations to come. So it's really important to understand this. And the great news about it, as somebody who has suffered tremendously with my health, regardless of where you're starting, it's never too late to start optimizing your health because it works quickly. And that's what I love about it.
You're super fit and you're the picture of health, and people look at you and probably they think, oh, she's just got it easy, but you did not have it easy. I want to talk a little bit about that because there's some folks listening right now that are going through tremendous health challenges as you did. Tell us a little bit about your health history and what did you do to transform yourself?
Yes, I suffered from the time of childhood. So I was very sick a lot as a kid, constantly on antibiotics. I had an undiagnosed autoimmune disorder we didn't know about. So I ended up with mononucleosis, multiple surgeries, in the hospital frequently with digestive issues. And then at 23, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer that had metastasized, which is fairly rare, so it kept coming back. And then on top of that, I ended up with gallbladder disease. It was like this laundry list. It was crazy, and it didn't make sense to me because I worked out really hard, and I was lean and fit. But fitness is not synonymous with health, and I want people to really understand that. I thought I could eat whatever I wanted, as long as I was fit, it was okay. And that's not true, because if you have issues with certain foods, which so many of us do, and we don't know it, things like gluten and dairy and corn and certain grains, it can just wreak havoc on your health. And that was my case. When I discovered this, I unfortunately for me, I went to some of the extremes, but fortunately for everyone else, I really did a lot of research to find out what really works, not as far as food philosophy, but as far as how your body processes food, because your body is a chemistry lab. So it's more about your body, frankly, doesn't care about your food philosophy. It needs what it needs. So I really help people sort of integrate how they eat to benefit their health and yet not disrespect their philosophy.
Now, that's amazing, by the way. You've obviously had kind of soul searching going on, going through the health challenges that you've had. And I want to kind of touch on that a little bit, because there's probably some folks listening right now going through the same type of stuff. You're a very strong person. You're very mentally strong. You're very fit, as you said. You brought up that amazing connection between food and health, not necessarily fitness and health. But where does that mental strength come from, and how do people work on that aspect of their strategy, like just staying tough every day and just staying, nose to the grindstone?
There are many tools that I use to help people, but really, because I went through a terrible time, and even with depression when I was going through all of that, not to get too far off track, but there was a point when I was walking to high school at 15 years old and someone attacked me on the sidewalk, and I fought really hard and I got away. He was dragging me down an alley. And I decided at that moment that I was never going to feel like a victim again, and I began training in martial arts. And it's the thing I love about martial arts training is that it really changes your mentality. You develop this warrior mentality. And I remember when I got sick, I got cancer, I felt like a victim. And then after going through some depression and having my challenges, one day I woke up and I went, this is not different. I can choose to be a victim or I can be a warrior for my health. And this was going to be the fight of my life or for my life. And that's really what I try to help people, again, integrate into their psyche is, what choice are you making? Let's work on your skills that help you to become a warrior for your health and for your family.
Your warrior mentality, your warrior skill set, obviously, we want to kind of bring that to kids, and that's part of, that's part of my mission, and that's, developing that superhero mentality for kids. Tell us about that. Like, how do you work with kids? What's going on with kids' brains today? What's happening with the junk food? How do we get kids into this superhero mentality, as far as your research shows?
Obviously, the younger you start, the easier it is. I mean, with my daughter, we started so young that she gets it. She proselytizes, and she's a very strong kid as well. She has that warrior mentality. But if you're starting with older kids, what I would really do is figure out the healthy foods that they like. There's no law, and this always frustrates me, there is no law or rule that says that it is a child's God-given right to eat food that hurts them. And it's always amazing to me. I think as mothers, we tend to tie our value to how many times a day our kid eats, and we will go to any extreme. Oh, my kid's so picky, so I have no choice. I have to feed them hot dogs and chicken nuggets, and it's the only way I can get my child to eat. There was a point, I'm a nurse. I know it takes 30 days for a person to starve to death. I'm okay if my daughter decides not to eat something and skip a meal. I'm okay with that. I provide a tremendous amount of healthy snacks in the house. I'm constantly educating in a loving and fun way, so I get her involved with cooking with me, and that makes it more fun for her. And if she chooses not to eat something healthy that I put out, that's okay. I will tell her, okay, you can go make yourself something healthy, but this is what's for dinner. And I don't keep junk food in the house. So it's not a rule that I have to feed her unhealthy food. And I just don't know where we got that. And so in my mind, I would rather her skip a meal and eat healthy food when she's hungry, because she's going to get hungry eventually.
You're such an amazing parent, and you're creating such an amazing archetype for parents out there. You and your husband are in the forefront of the health field. What's going on with, junk food, and where, what are the key junk foods for kids to avoid and for parents to keep away from their kids that are out there right now?
I would say it starts with school lunches. That is just a huge pet peeve of mine. And we should be ashamed of what we feed our kids in school. And in my mind, there is no such thing as junk food. It's junk or it's food. And it's either food that's serving you or not. And so I really, you know, things like, one thing I think parents need to know, how do your kids react to things like dairy and gluten? And, you know, those are things that they don't really benefit you, but they can really hurt you. So if your child is reacting to them in a negative way, you need to know that. So it really increases the incidence of behavioral problems in kids who are sensitive to them. Give my daughter gluten, she's bouncing off the walls. And she's in the bathroom, you know, she's got digestive issues. So you need to understand, because so often we rush our kids to the doctor and we get a pill and but we don't dig deeper and go, okay, what's the root cause? And my thought is, why are we putting Band-Aids over gunshot wounds? Let's figure out what the cause is, prevent that, and then we can move forward. And so often it's the food. So sugar, gluten, dairy, and, you know, fast food industries, they actually have food designers. And these food designers, their entire job, no joke, is to discover the combination, the right combination or wrong combination of sugar, fat, and salt, and put them in a combination that literally triggers the opiate centers in your brain. So your taste buds have been hijacked. It makes you addicted.
Yeah, it seems like for the future that a big part of parenting and a big part of raising healthy kids is like, you got to get these kids aware of what's going on right early. Otherwise, they're just going to fall victim to the advertising out there and to the drug addictive qualities of these foods. Is that,
yes,
is that some of what you, but you've got an amazing book coming out. Is that some of what you get into in your book? I think your book's called The Omni Diet. Isn't that right?
It is, and it very much is about what we talk about, nutrigenomics, and how to break food addiction. There actually is a simple way to do it. The people that come to our clinic for help, they're hardcore. They've been doing this a long time. They're not healthy. And they're always amazed. It's my favorite thing is about a week into the program, they'll come back the following week, you know, after the program starts, and the most common statement I hear is, I cannot believe I don't crave food. What's wrong? I don't understand. What did you do to me? And I start laughing because I don't have a magic wand. Your body's a chemistry lab. If you understand how to affect the hormones of metabolism, it's very simple. You can either become highly addicted or not addicted at all. And we can break your addiction. It's a matter of understanding how your body works. It's biology.
Yeah, you've got a tremendous research project going on, like real life with your Daniel plan. I mean, last year, I think in 2011, you helped people lose, through the Daniel plan, 125 tons.
Yeah, 250,000 pounds. Yes.
This is the real deal. So what are the main things you recommend? I mean, when people are 30 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight, 100 pounds overweight, what are the main protocols here?
Quite honestly, I don't focus on weight at all. The only thing I use the scale for is to make sure we're not going the wrong direction. If you've got food allergies, it shows up as inflammation. So I really focus, the entire focus of my program is on health. Because when your body is healthy and you find balance and you really find the things that make you truly well, weight loss is the stunning side effect. And that's the part that surprises everyone. No one's hungry in our program. We don't want you hungry. It's about balancing blood sugar, breaking those food addictions, and focusing on the lifestyle changes that make you truly healthy. The weight just melts. And I never focus on the scale for my program.
Tell us a little bit about this book that you've got coming out. You know, what are the key distinctions that are in there? And then what are you going to be sharing? I mean, I imagine it'll be comparable to what you'll be sharing at the Women's Wellness Conference. And by the way, for those folks who are just joining us, February 15 through February 17, we're going to be in the Orange County Hilton Hotel, Costa Mesa, California, at the Women's Wellness Conference, celebrating the best time ever and what the latest insights are for women. That's coming up very shortly here in 2013. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be sharing at that conference, and I imagine it's comparable to what's going on with the release of your new book.
Yeah, it's really, that's the program that we have at the Amen Clinics as well. They've adopted in the clinics the program that I put together. And again, we've touched on some of it. It's nutrigenomics. It's understanding how food affects your body, understanding which foods to lose, but more importantly, which foods to choose. So I never want people, this is about abundance, not deprivation. And I really want people to understand that. Great health is about abundance. So I don't believe in just removing a bunch of food from people. for everything I remove, I can replace it with two or three great things, health-giving foods. And so I focus a lot on what are the alternatives? What are the things that are going to serve your health? Let's focus on what you can do, not just what you can't do. Now, my program is a 70-30 program, meaning you need to have primarily plant-based foods, and I am a huge advocate of superfoods and raw foods. And I do believe in some animal protein, although it doesn't need to be a ton of animal protein. There are just some things. So it's, I call it a bipartisan plan, because for so many years, people have been asked to choose at, based primarily on a food philosophy. And again, my idea is your body doesn't care about your philosophy, and I'm okay with whatever your philosophy is. But let's go by the numbers. Let's get your blood checked. Let's balance you from there. And let's be bipartisan in this approach. We want to really take care of you as a person, as a whole person, not just your philosophy. And then I really go into the actual phases. So it's a prescriptive plan in my book. So it tells you, I hold your hand. This is what you do. This is how you do it. This is what a plate looks like. This is your shopping list. And I really help people break it down. And then really the end, the big thing in the end, the maintenance plan is give it away. So you need to, you know, remove, replace, do all these things, get your health back on track. It's got the exercise program. But really in school, we used to learn, I'm a nurse, and so one of the things in school was see one, do one, teach one. It's in the teaching, it's in the mentoring that you really get it.
Thank you. By the way, that was awesome. That's an awesome quick rundown on your program and what you're going to be offering us. But I think what you're onto there about teaching people and passing it forward and paying it forward is really how we embed the information. I think that is a very, very critical idea. It's also a very important part about how you memorize the subject matter. People
yeah.
ask me all the time, they're like, how do you remember all this stuff? It's like, well, because I learn it with the idea of passing it forward. Isn't that right? Isn't that how you really embed the information?
Very much so. And there's an additional piece to that that really, I think, makes it work so well, and that is that when you help someone else, there is so much joy attached to it that that's what really is addictive about it, and that's what keeps you going. So when you see your friends who have been unhealthy suddenly start to get healthy, you now not only have a social network and a social support, you're accountable to someone, but there's so much joy there. And, you know, we want to be happy by nature. And I just think it works well. It's a great formula.
Fantastic. I agree with you. Thank you so much for joining us, Tana. I've been speaking here with Tana Amon. She's going to be joining us with her husband at the Women's Wellness Conference Friday, February 15th through Sunday, February 17th at the Orange County Hilton in 2013. We're going to have the best time ever. You're going to be not only there yourself, but you're going to be bringing your very popular and famous husband along. Tell us just a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes that keeps you guys together, such an amazing and dynamic couple. I think people have been probably wondering that throughout this entire conversation.
You know, we have so much fun, and I often joke around, he is my rock. He's very, you know, mellow. He is the way he seems when he speaks, and I love that because I, in case you didn't notice, I'm a little intense. So we have so much fun together, though, and for me, it makes it such an amazing journey to be able to share this with, you know, the person that is, you know, one of the most important people in my life, him and my daughter. And so for us to do it as a family, there's just, I cannot tell you, it's not work. We just enjoy it so much, and we have so much fun doing it. And, you know, it's, what can I say? It's just something that we have a passion for. We both feel like it's our mission.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Have the best day ever, Tana, and we'll see you at the Women's Wellness Conference.
Thank you so much, David.
This program was brought to you by thebestdayever.com. Thanks for listening.